So God has provided us with so many resources. We want to be good managers. A couple of weeks ago, we learned about what? Anybody remember?
Less is more,
that's right. And last weekend, we filled up a truck. They went back, they measured it. They said it was 975 pounds worth of stuff. That's right, we're losing weight in a good kind of way, right? Cut back the clutter. I saw just before we started, it's almost filled, and a couple people said they're going home to get more junk and clear out the clutter, right? Less is more. Anybody experiencing the blessing of, you know, less clutter around your own house? Okay, then this week, I got to hear everybody else's landlording stories, because anybody who's ever had rental property has stories of crazy tenants and things that they've had to deal with. We've discovered stress is bad, and you guys showed up again this week knowing that we're going to talk about what?
Giving.
You knew we were going to talk about giving, and you showed up to church anyway, so you guys rock. Thank you for that. We're going to talk, because we know that giving is good. It's a little countercultural message, but we'll talk about it today. And then 2 weeks from today, we're going to deal with our last topic. And so next Sunday, I and a few other families from the church will be in Guatemala on a missions trip. And so Lauren is going to share with us and will preach with us. He's our director of Spanish ministries, and he's going to bring the word to us next Sunday. So 2 weeks from now, we will learn what?
Tomorrow.
That's right. In 2 weeks, we'll learn about tomorrow. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about the stories we'd love to hear. Here are the stories that we don't love to hear. And in terms of like the stories that really move us to tears, right? And someone says, oh, you wouldn't believe what happened the other day. I needed a phone because my current phone, it's like 7 days old and so out of date by now. I so needed a new phone, and I went to the mall and I went to the phone store and I told him my troubles. And the salesperson, he worked with me and he gave me a great deal. He told me about all the blessings the new phone would be, and he swung a great deal and blessed the Lord. Jesus gave me a new phone. I've never come to tears over those kind of like getting, acquiring, buying stories. I mean, hey, I love to get a good deal, okay? I'm going to get a good deal as often as possible. Those stories don't bring me to tears, right? I've never really told a story of, you know, I really needed a new purse. And well, I never heard a story. I haven't told it either, but I better reframe that. Never heard a story of someone say, you know, I just needed that new purse, and I went to the mall, and I found just the right one, and that new Coach purse was just what I wanted, but they were all out of them. But then, bless her heart, the sales lady went in the back. She found one more, and she was moved by the Spirit to give me 10% off, and God provided. Praise Jesus. I've just never, you know, like never come to tears about a, you know, getting, acquiring, getting more stuff story. Those are not the stories that move us. The stories that move us, oh man, I think of the guy who walked into the church office several years ago. And, you know, you might think that being a pastor, you get to like be at the church all the time, and we just pray and study our Bible all day, and it's this wonderfully nice life, you know? And it is a great deal. I mean, it's a sweet job, right? And great ministry. But there's also some things that are not always easy. You know, we'll get folks that'll walk in, and they have all kind of various kinds of needs and various desires for support and asking, you know, help with paying this month's water bill or some rental assistance. And I'm not always very good at, it's just, my strength is not, you know, just quickly reading somebody and knowing whether they're telling me the truth or not. I'm just not very good at that, right? And so, although the lady who came in and, you know, needed gas to be able to drive to her grandmother's funeral across town, after she, you know, had come in several times and we're on, I'm like, how many grandmas do you have here? Because I think we're on about number five of the same story. I think maybe she was feeding me a line on that one, but I just never know. And so, you know, it's just safer to, you know, give and support. And so anyways, one day this guy comes in his office, walks into the church, has a boy with him. He says, you know, I don't know if you know me or if you remember me, but several months ago I came in and I needed some help. I was living in the RV park on the other side of town, and I needed 3 days worth of rent to just keep me there until payday. And my son was sick in the hospital, and you guys helped me out and supported me in that. And I just wanted to stop by and say thanks. This is my son. He's doing a lot better. He's out of the hospital. He's doing well. And I just wanted to say thank you for helping us out. That story, man, those are the stories that move me and can bring me to tears. Those are the stories of when there was a need and God provided and met the need and I was for some reason able to be a part of that story. Those are the stories we love to hear. So today we're going to talk about giving. And the stories we love to hear are giving stories, not getting stories. And I'd like you to consider that giving is good. Not always easy, sometimes painful, often a sacrifice, but that in the end, giving is good. If we go to the most popular verse in the Bible, right? It used to be known as the NFL verse, but I don't know if those signs kind of show up in stadiums anymore. But most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16, right? Read it out loud with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We love this verse for a lot of reasons. We love the promise of eternal life. We love the not perishing, being rescued from hell part. But that's not really the best part of it. I mean, those are the benefits and the results. We always like benefits and results. But they come, those benefits are given to us because God loved us so much. And by the way, when you read that part, the world, you can just put your name in there, personalize it. For God loved me so much. And here's the most important part of this verse, I think, that he gave his only Son, which meant giving his Son to die for me, for you. God loved so much. What did he do? That he gave. God loves, therefore he gives. God is good, therefore he gives. And God is faithful, therefore he gives regularly, all the time. It's what he does. I want to be good. I take my cue from God and I give. I want to be loving all the time, so I'm going to take my cue from God and give. And I want to be faithful, and so I take my cue from God and give faithfully, regularly. Giving is good. Here's why this is, you know, in your Bibles, if some of us, your kind of edition of the Bible might have some words in red ink. And those are the words that kind of directly came from Jesus' mouth. Not that they're like more valid than the other words in black ink, but they're just, those are the words directly from Jesus. And so we find most of those in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, the stories of Jesus and his life and his teaching. However, in the later books, that kind of things that happened afterwards and the teachings that came after Jesus was on earth, we find a few places where those red words show up again, where they quote Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, who never met Jesus in person, as far as we know, a couple of times in his writings and teachings, we see these words in red showing up again. And one of those places, when he is teaching his people how to give and the importance of giving and of compassion, he quotes Jesus and he says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, "You should remember the words the Lord Jesus gave to us," and he quotes Jesus. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." This is really important for us because naturally when we talk about being blessed, we often think in terms of getting or in receiving, right? We see somebody who they got a new car or we got a new car and we say, "Oh, I'm celebrating. It's so much fun. Oh, I'm so blessed. I got a great deal." Or we look at somebody else who got a new job or a raise and promotion and all that goes with it and we say, "Oh, they're just so blessed." Usually we connect being blessed with receiving or with getting. Because as we've talked about in the first week, there's this natural assumption that more is more, that more is better. But if it is true in God's economy that more is not always better, one of the reasons God just knows, you're actually more blessed when you give it away than when you receive. Again, less is more. Why? Because here's what happens. When you give, you have the chance to be a blessing, and it comes back to where you are blessed in return. Here's why it works, that when you give, you have a chance to impact someone's life. I think of the story Erica tells me of her friend Amanda. In high school, Erica was really active in her youth group and invited her friend Amanda to go to youth group with her. And so she went to youth group with her, and Amanda heard about Jesus and gave her life to Jesus. Well, of course, they graduated from high school, went to separate colleges, and like so many of us did, are, you know, kind of lost track of some of our high school friends in college and young adulthood life. But the wonderful world of Facebook brought them back together and reacquainted the two of them, and Erica discovered that her friend was still active in her faith. You know, it's really common for folks to go off to college and kind of get distracted and other things becoming more important, kind of wander from your faith. Well, you know, her friend hadn't. Her friend had stayed faithful to Jesus. Her friend was active in a church. And in fact, just a couple years ago, we heard that her friend and her husband and their kids were packing up their belongings, following the call of God, and were moving to the other side of the world in a country in Southeastern Asia where they now live and give their time doing the work of God as missionaries. Well, of course, we heard about this, and we were like, how can we be a part of it? How can we support this? Our budget was, you know, really, really tight at the time, and we were looking for extra. And we realized, you know, somebody gave me a gift of a remote-controlled airplane that they had, and I just thought, I mean, it's really fun and kind of really wanted to get into it, and then I thought, you know, I don't have the time for another hobby, even though this is a really cool gift. And so we prayed about it and we said, let's just put this up for sale. Let's sell it and take all the proceeds, however much we get, and let's give it to your friend because it's more important that your friend be supported. And you know, we got to be a part of that. There's this friend I've never even met on the other side of the world doing good work for God. And there's a sense that we get to be a part of what they are doing. Again, the Bible affirms this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we read these words. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You see what he does here? Just kind of analyze this verse real quick with you. He says, you will be enriched in every way. In other words, God will be generous to you. God will bless you. God will give to you. What's the point of that going to be? Or the purpose? Often we think, well, if God blesses me, then I can go get something because more is better. Look what he says. You will be enriched. God will give to you so that, here's the purpose of that, so that you can be generous on every occasion. Could it be that the reason God blesses us is not so that we can have more and have more comforts or more whatever? Could it be that the reason God blesses us is so that we will pass it on and be generous to someone else. So you can be generous on every occasion. Look at this. This is the good part here. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. In other words, God gives to me, I get to give to somebody else, and that somebody else goes to the Lord and says, Lord, thank you for providing. Lord, thank you for blessing me. Lord, thank you that my friend. What would it be like, just imagine this for a moment, to have somebody name you in their prayers? And not like, oh, dear God, please help them, fix them, change them. Like, I've probably been named in a few prayers like that. I'm like, well, okay, but that's not the kind of, you know. I'd rather have folks name me in their prayers of thanksgiving. I mean, can you imagine what that'd be like? Could it be that there's somebody even now saying, thank you, God, for, and your name is inserted there in the blank. Because you shared what God had given you. You blessed them, so they were blessed, and you receive a blessing in return. If giving is good, if we get to be a part of God's work, we get to impact people's lives, and they're going to say thanks to God for us, which sounds pretty cool, why don't we give more? Well, maybe because we're struggling. Maybe because we're already spending more than we are receiving, and maybe it's time for a conversation with your spouse and to sit down, Lord, give me a plan and make a budget, put it on paper, and begin to make some hard decisions so that you can give. Choosing to give, that's a part of it. So maybe you're struggling, and maybe today this sometimes the best motivation to really get things together and live on a budget is so that we can give like we want to give and not waste the rest of it. Maybe the reason we don't give more is because we have seen this message abused. I don't like to cut down other ministries, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about, the preacher on television And he holds that big black Bible and his hair slicked back. And he's like, oh, brothers and sisters, I tell you, you just plant that seed and send that money to me and you make that offering and make that sacrificial gift. And he always points the finger and shakes it a little bit, or shakes his head and the hair shakes a little bit too. And he always has a southern accent. I'm not sure why. And that joke goes over a lot better here in the Northwest than it does in Missouri. But and for some reason, you're like, plant a seed and God will make it grow and bless it and turn it over 10 times. And like, for some reason, the seed means like, send the seed to you because, Mr. Preacher, your fields are always more fertile than the fields in our own local town. I don't know why that is. And for some reason, it always comes across like God's some kind of, you know, vending machine investment opportunity, you know, like, oh, you send me $25 and invest in my ministry and God will bring it back 10 times over and you'll have money coming all over the place. And it's like, we've seen this abused. And so we hear it and we're just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I hear you on that one. And truly, I mean this, that if your reason for not giving is that you just don't trust the church or any ministry organization, if that's really your reason and not just like a convenient reason to cover up your own greediness, if that's really your reason, then I encourage you to ask all the questions you need to ask. If you need to pull me aside and say, Pastor, tell us about our church finances. Tell us about the policies and procedures and protections that we have put in place to make sure that it's managed wisely and there's lots of input on this and not just one person's opinion. I'll answer all your questions. Find a ministry, find a church, do the research, find somewhere you can believe in and give. Because it's not, this is not a fundraising message, right? It's not like the church board said, hey, Pastor Jason, we're really struggling. You need to preach on tithing to get these people given. This is not a fundraising message. We already had the offering time today. We're not going to take another one just because I've done a great job or something weird like that. It's all right. This is about you learning to give, because giving is good, and we want you to experience the goodness that comes with giving. Maybe the real reason we don't give, though, is we have a scarcity mindset rather than an abundance mindset. A scarcity mindset is this kind of belief that there's only so much to go around, and there's not much to go around, so I need to get as much as I can and pile it up and keep it real close and get as much as I can because there's only so much to go around. Rather, and then the other side, an abundance mindset says there's not a limit of how much there is to go around. In fact, I believe in a God who has infinite resources, who owns it all, who controls it all. I believe in a God who, as the Bible says, owns the cattle and all 10,000 hills that they roam on, and he can send it wherever he wants, and he can multiply when he chooses to. And I believe in giving an abundance because it's not limited. I don't have to keep it all to myself. I believe in an abundance mentality in which we can be generous on every occasion. The Message translation of the Bible is kind of a devotional translation that really helps connect these truths to kind of the world that we live in. And in Proverbs chapter 11, we read this. This kind of helps to illustrate this abundance scarcity mindset. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Scarcity mindset, there's only so much to go around, so I have to keep it all to myself. I'm not sharing and giving with you. The world gets smaller and smaller. An abundance mindset says, well, the result is the world gets larger and larger, and the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Giving is good because when you give, you get to be a blessing to someone else. And what we know and the stories I'm going to share with you today, what results in that is that when you give and you are a blessing to someone else, you always receive a blessing in return. When you give, you will be a blessing and you will be blessed. So let's talk about it today, real practical now. How do I do this? How do I grow in generosity? The first step to growing in generosity is to begin trusting God with the tithe. Now you might say, oh, there's that word. There's that word that they use like when it's offering time, right? I mean, I know what an offering is, like give, but tithe, what's that word tithe that, you know, these church people are always talking about? Here it is. It actually does kind of come from the Bible. So the word tithe translated means one-tenth or 10%. And so what we find in Scripture, all through Scripture, is this instruction by God to give a tithe, to give 10% of what God gives to you. So every blessing God sends your way, you give Him 10% of it. Here's one example of where we see this pop up in Scripture is Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, where God says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And since it belongs to the Lord, you give it to Him." So the folks at this time were, it was an agricultural economy, and so he describes tithing in terms of agriculture. And so, for example, tithe is what? 10%. Okay, so for example, if you're a farmer and you plant a wheat field and you harvest 100 bushels of wheat, you would give back to God 10 bushels. Oh, you guys are so smart. If you, you know, have an orchard and you plant apple trees and you harvest 120 bushels of apples, you give back to God 12. Okay, don't worry. I'll stop doing the math now. You don't have to worry. You're like, oh man, we even have to think when we go to church. We give it right back to God. And look what he says here, though. It belongs to the Lord. God says, look, I'm just going to claim the first 10% is mine. It already belongs to me, so I expect you to give it back to me. That's just how I want you to, live. Now, let me ask you, what happens when you spend money that belongs to someone else? You get reelected. Yeah. The timing for this joke couldn't be much worse, but anyways, I just had to say that. Okay, anyways, just forget all about that. Package it, put it in a little box, put it in the, don't let that. God says, it already belongs to me. And so if you spend it for yourself and it belongs to me, well, we call that stealing, right? Stealing's not good. Now, that's kind of strong language. And then in the book of Malachi. Malachi was a prophet. He lived four to 500 years before Jesus. And God sent him a message. He says, you know, the people that call themselves godly people, they're wondering why life isn't going so well and their crop yields are low and, you know, famine comes and they just feel like we're under a curse. What's going on? God, don't you love us? God, aren't you faithful and you're supposed to, you know, help us and stuff? And God sends a prophet and he says, speak to my people and tell them this message. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a mere mortal, in other words, a human being, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? Like, I don't even know where you live, like heaven, but where is that? I can't even break into your house. Where? Like, where do you bank, Lord? I don't know where that is. How do you rob God? And he says, in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. You're spending for yourself what belongs to me. Now, we read this, and we're like, man, that's pretty heavy-handed. Like, motivating people to give by way of guilt. Good one, God. Like, this must be like before God became nice and became Jesus. No, same God who's faithful and consistent all through the Bible. But he's like, you know, sometimes the truth does hurt, right? And if you are guilty, you should probably feel guilty. But here's what's great about God. He does not motivate us only through guilt and like heavy-handedness. Here's the counterbalance to that truth in verse 10. Here comes the promise. He says, now, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Because there are probably folks who are saying, well, you know, I kind of feel like I should tithe 3%. God's like, that's an oxymoron. The word tithe means 10%. You can't 10% 3%. It's not an alternative fact you can try to believe in. You just like, it's 10%, right? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it. And here we see God almost challenging his people. He's like, test me. Let me prove myself to you. Let me prove my words to you. By the way, this is the only time in Scripture where God says, test me. Because it's not even really a test. It's just who God is, right? He says, test me and see. Just give and give that full tithe and watch what happens. Because what will happen is I will open the floodgates of heaven and I will pour out blessing on you and you will be taken care of. You will be all right. You will experience blessing in return. It's just how it works. God says, worship me with your first and your best. And watch me take care of the rest of it. So this week, in kind of preparing for this, we love stories. Stories are what we like to hear of how this works in real life. So I asked on Facebook. I said, hey, Ridgefield friends, I'd love to hear your giving story. Share with me your stories. And so I have three stories today of Ridgefield Nazarene folks. And I'm not going to share the names because... But I want you to hear these are real stories, and I'm just taking these from their own words. The first story of how this works out. Well, I've heard it a couple times now, but the second time came this week, and one of our board members called and said, hey, Pastor Jason, have you heard the story about how our church, as a church, experienced tithing? And I was like, well, I've heard one version of that story, but I want to hear your version, like the official kind of church leader version of that. And he said, well, let me tell you the story. So several years ago, when we were in pastoral transition again, and we were praying and looking for a pastor, finances were really tight here at the church. And we were praying and wondering what to do. And as a church board, we realized, you know, we're generous and we support, you know, some missionaries and stuff like that. But we have these kind of obligations to around the world that we're supposed to be a part of. And we're supposed to be giving towards that, and we're supposed to be, you know, like tithing as a church, but we're not. Yet we're asking our members to tithe the first and best, but we're not tithing the first and best, and we're kind of saying, you know, if we can afford it, we will, which is what we tell people. We need to, like, be tithing as a church body. And so the church leaders made a really bold, faith-filled move in obedience and said, you know what, we as a church, we're going to give. We're going to tithe just like we ask our members to do. We're going to give the first 10% and trust God to take care of the rest, even though we're really struggling financially right now. And that required, I mean, this is a bold move on the board and on the pastoral leaders, which is, speaks highly to our church. He said to do this required 10% salary cuts for all of our employees. He said, but guess what? At the end of the first month, God had provided, we gave a full tithe, and we were able to restore all the salary cuts within a month. Because it works. That's how God acts. I don't know if I told him this, but I knew there was something up. You see, when you guys were interviewing me to see if I should be your pastor, I was also interviewing you. And I went and downloaded and found all the reports that I could find. And I knew that that had been the case because I saw the report and I saw years of 00000. And then I was like, and then all of a sudden, something happened. Somebody made a bold decision to start giving. I don't know that it would have been an easy decision to say yes if that column would have been filled with zeros up through 2016. See, I remember back as a first ministry assignment, interviewing with the church that I eventually pastored for 14 years. We came up to this idea, and I said, you know, I know the history here that we haven't been giving as a church family. If you want me to be your pastor, we are going to tithe, because I'm going to pastor a church that practices what it preaches. And if we're going to ask our people to give the first and best, then we as a church family have to. And if that means I have to take a cut as the pastor, I want you to write the tithe check before you write the salary check. No, look, I'm not, please, again, it's not about me, I get it, but it's what we do. And I love to hear the story that here a bunch of leaders said, God's first, let's give him our first and our best. Here's one way that I've heard it that just sounds so good. This is the only time where 90% is more than 100%. Trust God with the tithe. The second part to growing in generosity is this. Plan your generosity. You know, most of us plan to acquire. We plan to save. We plan to plan for retirement. What if we planned to give? Even over and above our tithing, right? Because you know that like giving 10%, that's not the limit. God's not like, okay, you're giving 10%, you don't have to give any more ever again. In fact, that actually may reveal a scarcity mindset. Like, I'm going to be obedient, but not a penny more. Yeah, let's talk about that one. Look at Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8. He says this, generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. It's just how they live. They plan to be generous. You see, I know folks who have said, I don't want to just see 10% as the goal. I'm going to set a goal for myself of reverse tithing. You know what reverse tithing is? Reverse tithing is where you just consistently give more and more and more as God blesses with the goal of giving 90% and living on 10%. And there are a lot of folks who do this, and they're not just like the uber wealthy who already have a billion, and so 10% is, you know, more than we're ever going to see in a lifetime. No, these are like regular old folks who've learned to be generous, and God blesses, and they live on 10% and are able to give away 90. How fun would that be? You won't get there without a plan. Here's one of the stories I heard this week from our own church. She said, you know, several years ago, as a young mother, I had my kids, we were at the library, and the kids were probably climbing all over me, and she said a lady kind of came up to me, gave me a $50 bill, and said, you're doing a great job as a parent. She says, before I could, you know, recognize kind of what had happened, she was gone, I didn't know, I couldn't even turn to say thanks. She said, I took the $50, I put it in my wallet, and I said, I'm going to save this for someone else who needs it more than I do. She said, I carried it around and looked and watched and prayed, waiting for that moment. And then one day, we were vacationing in Mexico. And we were in the market, walking down the street, and I saw a mom and her kids sitting on the side of the road selling trinkets. And I realized, I get to have so much fun with my kids. We get to all go to all these great places, and I get to give them all these educational opportunities, but this mom and her kids, they sit here selling to support themselves. And in that moment, she turned, she opened the wallet, she took the $50 bill, she gave it to this mom to be a blessing. Here's the last thing she said, right? To this day, I think of her. She was able to be a blessing, and ever since that day, she carries in her memory the face of a mom and two kids she had the opportunity to bless. How would you like to carry those memories instead of the memories of regret of what I could or should have done? I'd rather carry that memory of a face of a person I had the opportunity to bless than to carry the memory of a new gadget that I bought and was fun for about a week and then I got busy. When you bless someone else, you get a blessing that comes back to you. Would you plan your generosity? You know, when I look at this for me, I think this is something, this is where it hits home. I need to work on this one in my own life. Third part of how to grow in generosity is this. Start being generous now. Rather than waiting, rather than to say, as soon as I get out of debt, then I can tithe, then I can be generous, because right now I have a bunch of stress, and if I start giving, it's even more stress. I'd like to suggest to you that giving is good, and if there's ever a good motivation to work hard and get out of debt more, is so that you can experience more goodness that comes from being able to give more. Start with giving. It'll motivate you to do the hard work and the sacrifice to get out of debt. Don't wait until you're comfortable. Don't wait until you get the next raise, because between now and then, you'll figure out 10 more things to spend that raise on. Choose to be generous now. You know, I have to admit, I feel like I'm a little bit of an advantage, okay? My parents modeled this for me. I watched them give, and they trained us to give. And so from the time when I was a little kid, you know, if we got $10, we were just expected to give $1 in the offering that Sunday. And we learned to give young. And I've thought, like, boy, that would be really difficult to learn that as an adult, because it's a whole lot easier to give a dollar than it is to give $100. But if that's true, it's easier to give $100 than it is to give $1,000. Start now. If you wait, you'll never get around to it. But Pastor, this would require me to like adjust my whole life around what God wants me to do. Yeah, that's kind of where this whole thing goes. That's kind of the point of it. That's the call of Jesus, is that we will adjust every part of our lives to have Jesus at the center, where everything revolves around Jesus. To where it's not just 10% is God's and the other 90 I get to do with whatever I want, but to say all 100% is yours, Jesus. You tell me what to do with it. Some of that he'll say, pay your mortgage, feed your family, buy health insurance, have some fun. But all 100% of it gets set before the Lord. He gets to call the shots of all 100%. Yes, this means that more than just an experience on Sunday morning, that I give all 7 days of the week and all the hours in them, and I give them to God and say, God, I give you my entire schedule, not just an hour a week. Tell me what to do with it. That yes, the call of Jesus is to give God every part of our lives, and let him call the shots. Everything revolves around Jesus. Amen. And God just knows it's the best way to live. And if you ask the story of lifelong followers of Jesus who made the decision to give it all to God, they'll tell you, do it. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Do it every day. The best way to live is with Jesus at the center and every part of my life revolving around him. Worship team, come on back. As the team comes back, I want to share this one last story with you. The story of one of our own. She said, I learned about tithing my senior year of high school when my youth pastor explained it to me. But it wasn't really until about 4 or 5 years ago when we really decided to do it and really began to give faithfully to God. And here's what she said. Here's my experience. It doesn't always come in forms of money, the blessing God gives back. She says, we've been blessed with food for our fridge, a full gas tank, a month of preschool paid for by someone who loves me dearly, or a birthday card with a $100 bill in it from an individual we weren't expecting anything from. She says, these always come at just the right time, exactly when we need it. These all have been examples that have solidified my belief to tithe because he really does take care of us when we trust him first to take care of us and we give him the first 10%. That's the story of one of ours. I'm going to give God my first and my best. I'll choose to obey him. Here's what you'll experience. When you give, you will be a blessing to someone, and they'll thank God on behalf of you. When you give, you will be blessed, because giving is good. Bow your heads with me. Let's go to God. Lord, these truths do not come naturally. And so, Lord, I pray that you would take this information, this teaching, and it would be more than just truth to believe. But Lord, would you so drill it down into our souls that we live it in trusting obedience of you. Thank you, God, that you are faithful. Thank you, God, that you lead the way, that you are a giver. Teach us, Lord. Lead us. We'll follow. So I pray for all my friends today, at whatever point this hits home, Lord, I pray, would you build our confidence in you, that we would boldly trust you. Lord, I pray for all of us today, would you open our eyes to see all of the blessings you have already sent our way? Train us to be generous, God. In your name we pray today. Amen. Stand with me. Let's raise our voices one more time. Let's sing together. We're going to sing a song that is a song of God, I'm going to give you my life and everything in it. Here we go. Lead us, guys. So I wasn't really planning on this part, right? But I just feel like the Lord's saying, there's somebody today who needs to say yes to Jesus 100%. And so no pressure. No manipulation, but somebody, I sense that God's tugging at your heart. And it's time to be bold, it's time to be honest, and we're going to celebrate with you, but it's today, as we're singing the rest of this song, it's time to step out, come down here, kneel before the Lord, and say, God, I'm in, 100%, my whole life, it's all to you, I'm all in. So guys, let's sing a little bit more. If that's you today, don't hesitate, okay? Because we're not going to sing long, right? Don't say no to Jesus. Just say yes to Jesus. Come on down here. We'll gather around you. We're going to pray with you. And every person in this room is going to celebrate what God's doing in your life. If that's you, if it's time to give 100% all into God, just come on down here. Throw yourself before the Lord. Pray it. Give it yourself to Him. Let's keep singing. Come on forward. Give your life to Jesus. All of it. How about you? Again, right? I'm not going to stay a whole long because I just don't believe in like long, pushy. If it's you today, fall before the Lord. Say, God, I'm in 100%. It's more than an offering. It's more than giving and tithing. All of me, God, all of me, because you've already given all of yourself to me. I'm going to give all myself back. Anybody else? You want to come throw yourself before the Lord? We're celebrating today. There's good heart business going. We want to keep the celebration going. So, Lord, I pray. Help us, God. We want to be all yours because you're already all ours. Lord Jesus, you gave your life. We want to give ours back. No holds barred. Holding nothing back. All of us, Lord, for you. God, that's us today. Here am I. All of me. That's our prayer. We pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. We're yours, God. All right. Guys, finish the song. From the depths of our heart, everything we've got, sing it out. Come on, here we go. Mm-hmm.